Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
On this Saturday, May 14th, 2022, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. I'm Mike Rickard, and you're listening on RadioSt.Pete.com and on the Tan Talk family of stations as we have a jam. I have not had a show this loaded in the 17 months we've been on the air, so it will be rock and roll, 2 hours down here. We're at Tropicana, right across from Tropicana Field, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the back patio as it is game day. 6:10, first pitch. The Toronto Blue Jays across the street. And this combination does happen from time to time. Happens during football seasons. Rays and Bucks overlap. Well, tonight we've got game number 7, and it is going to be a madhouse down here. It's Bolts watch party. It's like being at Amalie Arena. The game, obviously, is not at Amalie tonight. It's game number 7 as they pursue their quest for the third Stanley Cup. And I'm looking forward to, I mean, you Oscar, you live next door. You are not going to believe what it's going to be like down here tonight.
It's going to be wild. I cannot wait.
Well, you're going to the game.
I'm going to the game. When we got the tickets to the Blue Jays game, I didn't know that we were going to have a game 7.
Well, nobody did.
Nobody knew. So.
I didn't think they'd get that far. All right, so each and every Saturday down here, we're at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill right in the heart of Champa Bay, 13th and Central, where they've been taking care of business for 29 years and were voted the best wings and sports bar in the Bay last year, and I'm sure they will in 2022. We provide you a fresh and a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros, and as I said, wide range of guests. My first guest, we'll have him on in a few minutes, is Justin Moulton. He's the first FSU Seminole player who's actually a member of the Seminole tribe, and he played from about 2015 to 2019. Just a great guy that Barry Smith lined me up. I'm looking forward to that conversation. Our Rowdies correspondent, Buster DeLay's in the house, the young phenom. We'll review and preview the 2022 season so far. Gibbs High School head track coach, then we're going to go a little UCW Universal Championship Wrestling personality, Magnificent Mike. Now, that used to be my name when I was a young man. Now it's just Old Man Mike. But we're going to talk to him, Andy DeLay from Burning Rubber Radio. Ralph Rogers, the head baseball coach of the Hollins Royals. You were here when they were here, right?
Yeah, I was in.
Okay, so they won every game since last week. I told them they were getting connection karma. They won, and they played Jesuit, which is a powerhouse, on Monday night for the regional championship. I thought this was so cool, reminiscent of the days in Iowa. He texted me, and I said, let's do a phone conversation, give you a little karma.
Yeah.
And he said, okay. I get a reply back. Some of the boys want to know if they can come down because they want the karma too.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, same place, same station.
Right.
They'll be here about 1:30. And then you and Alex Reva are going to break down a little NBA for us. So we got to get rolling. I'm going to just do a little
Me and Reva up first? What we got going on?
Going to be on after Buster DeLay.
Okay, we got Buster.
And before Gibbs.
Okay.
I'm getting this all fitted in.
Hey.
Somehow.
All right.
You're going to be my producer. You're going to have to move the bodies in and out.
I haven't been in such a packed show since I got on.
All right. Well, neither have I. I don't know if I can. I'll be stumbling, fumbling, and bumbling more than I typically do. All right. Remember, we have 94 channels down here all day long. We've got MLB. Of course, tonight you got no NBA playoff games tonight.
No, I mean, how can you compete with, you got Blue Jays raising, and you got, Game 7's going on.
But, as I said, you got Maple Leafs and Lightning down here. The place will be, you'll want to get down here early. First pitch is 6:10, so you'll get rid, here's how they look at it. The Rays fans think that they own the tables, and then the Bolts fans think it's a watch party. What are you baseball chumps doing here? And they try to basically force them out. It gets a little ugly from time to time. So we will be looking at what takes place tonight. 94 televisions. Come on down. Great baseball games all day long. And then, of course, as I said, this is news that's not important. But you got USFL And any of those games you want to come down tomorrow, you can watch Suns, Mavs on the big screens. 94 televisions will switch the games over for you anytime. What else we got in Fergs from the front row? Let's recognize our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection affiliate stations. Our flagship is WDTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340, WZHR AM 1400, 104.3 FM, and WDCF AM 1350 and 102.3 FM, Brooksville. And from the Sunshine Bridge, all of Pinellas County, Tampa to Lakeland, and north to Zephyr Hills, and we're streaming and archived on Hoovy.tv and RadioSaintPete.com right now. My good friend Joe Berdrow. We'll talk about some exciting things taking place there. And don't forget to tune in if you're down in the St. Pete area, you love music. Our partners at Sunshine 96.7 FM, Jay Kolb, has got it going on. He's got over 1,200 local artists now, and Jay just does a superb job of building that up. And then, of course, our partnership with the Hoovy Media Group, headquartered in Orlando. Exciting things around the bay, around the corner, and across the bay. And Andy DeLay, the man with the plan now, he's actually here today. We might even let him squeeze in a little burning rubber radio conversation as he's doing a little video, which will be your task and your responsibility.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to that as well. And right now, give me a little background on Alex, why I get a hold of this.
My illustrious co-host.
When I was in Iowa, you guys carried the show.
Well, okay, when I got signed to my first deal here, I told...
hey, the contract's on my desk.
So when I got signed to my first deal here, when Mike brought me in, I was like, look, I don't really feel comfortable with this, you know, this age difference we got going on. I don't really like what's going on here. Let me bring in somebody that... that I got a little bit more chemistry with, right? So, Alex...
You're saying you don't have chemistry with an old man like me?
No, not really.
Well, neither does Buster. You young guns, you're going to be taken over anyway. I'm looking forward to that day.
I don't know if they can tell, we've been forcing it for the past couple of weeks, me and you. But look, Alex is a good buddy of mine. We both live in the Fusion right across the street from Tropicana, so we are very tied in to what's going on down here in St. Pete, Tampa
Bay. Wait a minute, I got a quick question. Okay, I'm 43 years older than you. I'm a short white guy. You're 6'4", attractive, bright, young African American. What do you mean we don't have a lot in common?
Detroit, Iowa. Hey, we got so much. We got so much lined up that makes it all work.
Come
right?
On, my man. I was liking the way our bonding was going. Anyway.
Anyway, Alex. Alex is a Penn State guy. I think we met when I came down here for a job, and Penn State, Michigan State, we spent a lot of time at Fergs beefing over the football season, talking about who's better in the Big Ten. He knows. He's a
Hawkeyes.
Little, he's a little okay. Yeah. You guys win the West by default, but whatever. He's a little insecure about his Penn State, his little nitneys, and Sparty's always manhandling him, but it's okay. I love him still.
All right. Well, now I'm fortunate to get this gentleman on, Barry Smith, who is the unofficial producer of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. He's always finding stories for me, and I found this one very intriguing. And this young man's name is Justin Motlow, and he's kind enough to share his story with me. Good morning. Well, it's afternoon now, my friend. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Barry warned me that you're very intelligent. He probably told you about me, so if you start using any words I don't really capture, just slow down a little bit, and I'll keep up. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, so let's talk about it. And I'm from Northwest Iowa, and I had a ton of friends that are native Winnebago, and my daughter-in-law is native, and my grandkids, and I love the story that he told, that he said was you, is you were the first member of the Seminole tribe to play for the Florida State Seminoles, and I just think that was fabulous. It comes with a lot of pressure, but also an honor. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. It was one of the biggest privileges just to be able to represent my tribe, being able to play for Florida State. And you know, it was wild because I thought, you know, there had to have been one that came before me, but sure enough, you know, we checked, and yeah, I was being the first actual Seminole to be able to play up there. It was just, I don't know, I couldn't tell you. It was so incredible.
Now, I did a little bio, and your grandmother was 100% Seminole. Was she still alive when this honor took place?
Yeah, she unfortunately passed when I was up there playing, but you know, she got to see a little bit. So that was pretty cool.
I bet you she wore that Seminole gear proudly, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was. I had a lot of support from the members of my tribe, which was, you know, just really, really cool to see.
Well, I'm learning a lot more as we've integrated our families, their tribe, and I just love the incredible rich tradition that is the tribal family, and I think it's really cool. And you carried it over into football. You went to Tampa Catholic, is that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, went to Tampa Catholic. Grew up. I'm, you know, born and raised in here in the Tampa area. So it was cool to be able to stay in state and go to Florida State. I had a few different places where I was thinking about going to school, but ultimately everything ended up working out like how it was supposed to. And you know, going to Florida State was incredible.
So let's talk about Tampa Catholic. Were you a multi-sport athlete or just focus on football? I know there's another program steeped rich in tradition, and I need to get them on the airwaves. I've had Jesuit over here at Ferg's three times, and I went to a private Catholic school, so I do love that rich tradition, and Tampa Catholic's one of those. Talk about your high school career, and then I believe you were a walk-on at FSU.
Yes, sir. Yeah, played football and ran track at Tampa Catholic, and then got a preferred walk-on spot at Florida State. And you know, it was like I said, just I can't say enough how incredible of an opportunity that it was.
Well, you go from probably being one of the best on your Tampa Catholic team, and I went through this with a couple of my sons, to preferred walk-on status. Now, walk-on, still walk-on, and I applaud, you know, the rocky attitude that walk-ons have, especially in a program that's absolutely loaded with, five-star talent. And Coach Bowden was still there, wasn't he?
No, it was...
was it Jimbo?
Yeah, it was Jimbo Fisher. And, yeah, just like to what you said, the talent was unbelievable, just absolutely loaded with amazing guys. Going into that, it was it was tough for sure, but you know, just I grinded, I worked hard, and I was able to, you know, eventually work my way up to travel squad, and you know, it was a challenge for sure, but it was a fun one.
All right, so I got to ask you, how many times have you watched the movie Rudy during that process?
A couple times.
Yeah, well, I being from the Midwest and an old man, and Catholic, I'm a Notre Dame fan, but I met Randy Rudiger, and he came and spoke to an event for me in Des Moines, Iowa years ago, and it is a fabulous story. However, a lot of it was dramatized, as they all are. But I think we could actually come with some kind of a storyline for a documentary on your story. I mean, you guys were, Florida State was, you know, they're on some tough times right now, but you guys were a national power. And here you make the travel team. That's saying something, man.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It took a lot of work, because coming from, you know, from a walk-on's perspective, you have to, you know, go even harder, go above and beyond what is expected out of you compared, you know, to the normal scholarship guys. So it was, you know, very, very challenging, but to be able to make it to that point, I mean, it just made everything worth it. Being able to, you know, travel with the team, wear that uniform on the field, represent, you know, like I said, my tribe and my school. It was all so surreal.
What's your, let's go back to high school. I always like to ask guys, what's your favorite memory with Tampa Catholic? And what's their mascot?
We're the Tampa Catholic Crusaders.
I thought you were. That was my high school, the Bishop Heelan Crusaders.
Oh, awesome.
Couple Crusaders just kicking it. Unfortunately, I came from a town of 80,000, and you came from a town of about 2 million. A little bit different perspective on the on the level of talent in the high school world. What's your favorite memory from your Tampa Catholic Crusader days?
Honestly, you know, Tampa Catholic was great. I think my greatest memory was the group of guys that I played with. they were just some of the most, supportive and, just a great, great group. We all had each other's back, and they just made it a real joy, playing. I never once was, I got tired out from, I looked forward to practice even and all the games. I think just the whole experience overall was just probably, my best memory.
All right, now FSU. Now, as I was starting to allude to, the Rudy story, you do put a chip on your shoulder, which is motivational. You had other factors. You're representing the proud Seminole tribe, but you had plenty of motivation. And did you have support from the coaching staff? Because sometimes, and that's evident in Rudy and many programs I've talked to guys that have walked on, they just don't have the time to be concerned about a walk-on because they don't have a financial investment in you. They're typically not certain you're going to make the travel squad. That they enjoy your passion, your enthusiasm as a practice player. But talk about, that environment, what it took, what motivated you, and when you got your opportunity to travel, the joy that you felt.
Yeah, I would say, you start out on the practice squad and no one's truly looking at you because they're just not, like you said, the financial investment. They're not expecting, I guess, as much out of a walk-on. So, I mean, that right there, that gives you a chip on your shoulder because you just want to set out and prove to everyone, like, I can be here, like, I can compete. And I used that to my advantage and worked my butt off. And finally, when I did get my opportunities to show the coaching staff what I had, I was able to turn some heads. And when I finally worked my way from that practice squad side of the field over to practicing with the ones and twos, I made the most out of every single chance that I had, and it was just probably one of the proudest moments of my life, I would say, because you set out to do something, and when you achieve it, it's just one of the best feelings in the world.
Well, it's certainly motivational just talking to you. Which game was it that you made the travel squad, and how'd that feel? Did you have that Rudy Rudiker feel when you're getting on the bus?
So it was the training camp before my senior year. So I was able to travel my entire senior year, and honestly, yeah, when I saw my name on the on the travel roster that first time, it was just such a adrenaline rush. Because I was like, man, this is exactly what I set out to do, and now I achieved it. So I was just speechless.
All right, who was your first? I think I looked. I think I saw this online. What game was your first catch in an FSU football game, and was it home or away?
It was a home game. It was Delaware State.
You got your first catch against the Mud Hens.
Yeah. That was the game that I scored also.
Oh, you scored a touchdown that game as well.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh. Were you 21?
Yes.
I bet a few adult 21. Beverages were consumed that night.
Our group of guys, we celebrated. It was a great time. Everybody was so just proud and happy that, we had an absolute blast after.
Now, what bowl game did the Seminoles participate in your senior year?
So we went to Shreveport, Louisiana, and that was actually the walk-on's Independence Bowl. So Rudy, he was actually there at the game.
Rudy, who was at the game?
Rudy Rudiger. We went to the walk-on's Independence Bowl, Shreveport, Louisiana. And, he was there at the game, which was pretty cool.
Did you meet him?
I did, yes.
I tell you what, your career was a lot longer than Rudy Rudiger's. And so I think we got some movie material, my man, around the corner. Maybe I should be your agent and we get working on that. They're shooting a lot of films in the St. Pete area right now, Justin.
There's actually Ryan Watson, one of the most talented filmmakers out there. He works at the University of South Florida. He made a short documentary about me, actually, and it was it's incredible. He is so talented, and to just like going off of what you were saying, so there's already a short one out there.
Is that right? Well, tell us where we can find it, and I tell you what, our social media will start promoting it.
Oh, absolutely. That would be awesome.
All right, my man. What are you doing now?
So now
making real bank, probably.
Yeah, I got my general contractor's license after college. I work with my dad. We have a small contracting firm. And, you know, we do work all over the state for our tribe. One of our biggest projects right now, we are doing the infrastructure for phase two of our Lakeland Reservation. And then we got another big project coming up down at our tribe's headquarters down in Hollywood. And we're doing work on the Cherokee Reservation for the Bureau of Indian Affairs up in North Carolina. And so we're kind of all over the place. It's been real rewarding being able to work with you know, not just my tribe, but now other tribes as well. I was able to go on a bid walk over in Arizona for the Navajo Nation. So we didn't end up getting that job, but it was very eye opening and just a pleasure to be able to go, you know, look at other tribes and get some history and background of them. But you know, it's been great being able to work with my dad. It's been a real treasure.
Well, and Barry shared that story with me too, and I think that's extremely cool. And back to your going out in the history of tribes, I've spent a lot of time, had some very, very close friends going all the way back to my high school days in the Lakota, Sioux Indian Lakota tribe. And I was welcomed in on some things. We used to box together. So it was very eye-opening for me, German-Irishman. And now, as I said, integrated into my own family. And I just love the rich tradition, and you should be, and you are very proud of it. But, and even more proud of your accomplishments, you're the Rudy of Florida State, my man. And we'll get you your own nickname and your own brand, and we'll get you on to motivate kids from time to time. How's that sound?
Oh man, that would be amazing. That sounds great.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your day. I love this story, and you're welcome to come over to Ferg's any Saturday and buy you a beverage and a bite. Bring your pops. We'll get Barry Smith away from the golf course, and we'll have a good time.
I will take you up on that. That sounds fantastic.
All right, man. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Great conversation, Justin Motlow. And isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's the Rudy Rudiger of this modern era. I mean, and to be the first Seminole. His grandmother was 100% Seminole,
yeah.
And I think it's extremely cool. Now, you know what? He's 15 years old. He is he's about skinny as a rail. That's a compliment. So is this young 6'4" man.
I'm working on it.
But the first thing these kids want to do these days, because the food is superb at Ferg's, but he's famished. Did Pops buy you breakfast?
Had a little bit of home, but
come on, look at the size of that sandwich.
I did not expect that when I ordered it, trust me.
Well, you're gonna finish your whole meal, young man. You're gonna clean that plate up. You ever heard that before?
I'll try.
You probably never heard that. That's old school.
I've heard it.
Did you hear that at home?
Oh yeah.
Old man sounds like my kind of guy.
I ate with grandma.
Old school.
Grandma didn't play that. You had to finish your food, man.
Yeah, the good old days. All right, well, we don't need good old days. We got good young days here. I'm fortunate to sit across from Buster DeLay. He's now the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Rowdies correspondent. And a 15 years young. I've got a 23-year-old out on the streets for me, and I got a 15-year-old out. It's like the fountain of youth for me. But, Buster, you've been doing an incredible job. It's great to see you. I know you've been very busy with your school work, which is always the top priority. Gibbs Tracks in the house. That's good to see. Good to see you again, young man.
Good to see you, Mike.
Now, what are your notes?
I do it off my head. I'm gonna.
I know that. That's why I brought that up. Look at this. I got 12 pages of notes for 3 hours of shows. This cat stands down there at Rowdy Stadium, the pressure of live conversation, and just as you will hear when I ask a few questions, doesn't blink. Nothing off a note card, no index card, no, he doesn't have his own man in the back with cards cueing him. Very impressive. So let's talk about the Rowdies, where they are right now, this point of the season. They got a game tomorrow, actually.
Yep.
And Phoenix, right? Phoenix Rising?
Yep. Phoenix Rising, 9 p.m. tomorrow.
Is that here?
No, it's going to be over in Phoenix.
I figured with the 9 o'clock, but I wanted to make certain, because I want to make sure you're on your toes. Okay, so Phoenix. So where are we at in the season?
Unfortunately, we're in 7th place right now in the Eastern Conference, but Phoenix are in 4th, so that should be a... It should be a challenge for us, but we beat them last season 2-1, so our hope is to do that again or better this year.
Well, let's talk about your sideline reporting. Has it been a blast?
Oh my gosh, yes. Meeting players is like nothing I would have ever imagined. Standing face-to-face with them, talking to them outside of the game, you get to really see like how human they are. They're not some like robot on the field. And that's all you see when you just go to like watch games and you talk to them afterward. You get to know them, and they're human. They're just right there in front of you.
Well, you weren't really shy when you were just a fan in the stands either.
No.
They got to know you because they respected your incredible depth of knowledge of the worldwide game. In fact, plug for our Buster DeLay's World Soccer Report. It's on each week on Hoovy.tv. You do an incredible job there. But you had to have impressed them, and that started at 14 with just your knowledge, and then they just started taking a liking to it. And what's not to like?
Yeah, when I was maybe 12, I want to say, I came to my first game, and I got to know the players. And that was before I played the game as much as I do now and before I knew as much as I do now. So once I could know... as like what I know now, I was able to have better conversations with the players and get to know them better, and it all sort of fell in place just like that. And throughout my time now that I've been doing it, we're going on a year, I've met some incredible talents, incredible names, gotten to know some incredible people. I've gotten some really good interviews over the years with a former Premier League champion, a player that's played in the La Liga, and I've gotten just the opportunity to meet, even if I don't interview them, incredible, incredible names, such as last game I went to, meeting Landon Donovan, the U.S. men's national team all-time top goal scorer, and it's just been an incredible experience.
Okay, so let's talk about the Rowdies, you know, as I've dove into it a little bit. Very international flavor. Do they have any Americans on this year's team?
We do. We have a lot of players that were either born in other countries but are like nationalized Americans or went to high school in the United States, such as Leo Fernandez, Sebastian Guenzotti, players like that. But no, we have a lot of people with foreign backgrounds but that are American.
That are American. Who's there's a guy on the team that played at Eckerd College. Give me a name. Is there a Jose on the team? I can't think of.
There's a Juan Tejada.
Juan Tejada is from Eckerd College, and we have a great relationship with them.
He's the best. He's just the most outgoing, fun guy on the field. From his hair to his playing style.
Yeah, they loved him at Eckerd College. Okay, so that's our Rowdy. I mean, we're in 7th place. Where do you forecast us being at the end of the season?
I mean, 7th place right now, if my memory serves me right, is the bottom playoff spot, which means that it's still possible, even if we just hold the way we are now. But we've been on a mediocre run of form. We haven't played horribly, but the results just haven't gone our way. So I think if we can pick it up, we're still fairly early into the season, so I think if we can pick it up going forward, hopefully top 5, but even if we can just clinch the playoffs, that's ultimately the goal.
Yeah, you see, Dad, where he says we? Now he's actually a member of the Rowdies. Now, maybe I shouldn't bring this up on the air yet, but is there conversations that there's going to be a women's team?
There is.
And there's conversations they might bring a young protege possibly to get involved in the broadcasting?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things going on now with the USL women's team, USL League 2, I want to say, and then the MLS is next, with all of those teams blossoming from the rowdies in the lower divisions.
And they're kind of looking at a young talent named Buster DeLay to potentially be involved.
I've heard of one guy, last name DeLay. He talked to Jared Johnson, if I can say that, about a possibility that maybe this summer, when he's not on vacation, he can go to a couple games in the Orlando or Miami area and have a blast.
Well, young man, I mean, you're 15 years old now. It's nothing of great stature yet, but I'm going to make sure it gets to that point. We're going to be partnering, by the way, new news with Spectrum. Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network and Spectrum Sports are going to be in alignment with high school coverage, and I'm going to make sure that you're part of that. So with that position, the opportunity in Orlando, and what you're doing with your World Soccer Report, you got a bright future. I'm sure you'll blow past journalism and communications and broadcasting in your life, but while you're going to high school and college, have an absolute blast. And I appreciate everything that you're doing. World Cup, where's it going to be held?
France this year, I believe.
France?
Wait, is that the Champions League final?
That's
a Champions League.
World Cup, I thought they were still debating over.
Is it Qatar?
It is Qatar. And I saw that on CBS Sports. And that does not make me happy. It doesn't make a lot of people happy because of the economic impact. Qatar is expensive. It's outrageously expensive, and the common fan from Europe or worldwide will not be able to go. And it's another one of those money grabs that have taken place in Olympic history, and it's happened with the World Cup now. And if you study it a little bit, do a little research on that decision, it's going to impact the fan base. What will it do? It'll drive the dollars towards streaming platforms, which we love, but it's not good for the diehard fans that want to go and watch an event. And, you know, and that's the way the television is going, as you're well aware of.
Right, yeah. I mean, for the in-person stuff, they want to get, you know, who can really afford to drive that price up. And then, of course, you know, streaming is the future. So, you know, if they can drive people to that, the average guy who can't make it out there, they're going to do that.
All right, Buster DeLay, thank you for your time. Go eat that while it's still hot.
Thank you.
And we're going to get you on every week. I'm going to squeeze the Gibbs Track guys on real quick, and then we're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk wrestling. We're going to talk baseball. We got it going on a Saturday down here at the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill across from the Trop. Of course, 6:10. First pitch tonight is the Rays and Jays. And at 7:30 is a Bolts watch party. And get your kids home early, because it gets crazy down here as they embed the baseball. Baseball will be rolling out about 8:30, 9 o'clock. And about that time, the Bolts fans will be in a frenzy. It's Game 7 against the Maple Leafs. And down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, they know how to have fun. And unfortunately, my good buddy here, who I office, I'll be right in the middle of it, directing traffic. So say prayers and wish me well tonight, because it's going to be a blast down here, and the old man will be right in the middle of it. And he's kind enough to come down and join me. And it's a passion that you could tell in our conversation, Robert Clark, the Gibbs Gladiators head boys and girls track coach.
Yes, sir.
He's kind enough to join me. And who's this youngster you brought with you?
Gabriel Graham.
Gabriel, thanks for coming down to Ferg's. I don't know if you've ever been here before, but you're welcome to come down anytime. I love my track guys.
Thank you.
I'm an old dinosaur that ran collegiately and just have a huge passion for it. I don't know if I have the passion that Coach Clark does, but let's talk about the history of Gibbs Track. And yeah, you're back at your alma mater now. And well, you went to Lakewood.
Yeah, I went to Lakewood.
I should have remembered that. Mark Ferguson. Have you met Mark before?
I think one time, that was about it.
I need to introduce you. All right, so Robert, let's talk about your journey from high school. You had success at Lakewood. Where'd you go collegiately, and how you formed this passion for the great sport of track and field?
Well, first of all, like I said, it all started at Lakewood High School. I ran under the tutelage of Eileen Givens, so she was an amazing coach. You know, she taught me a lot. I first saw success running the 400, doing a long jump, triple jump, running the relays. I was 2-time state qualifier. Made it to the finals every year. And my senior year, my first year running the 400, I ran like a 51. By the time I got to my senior year, I was running like 48s. So then I attended Edward Waters University in Jacksonville, Florida, which is the oldest HBCU in the state of Florida.
It is. I knew it was, but I didn't know it was the oldest.
Yes, it is. 1866.
Wow. So you made quite a jump from a performance standpoint. It was your junior year you ran a 51?
It was my sophomore year. I ran a 51 by the time I got to my junior year.
Did you even make the 4x4 team running 51?
My sophomore year, I started out running a 50.
Okay, all right.
I ended my sophomore year running like 50 flat, 49. So, and we actually qualified for the 4x4 that year as well for states.
Well, I know, Gibbs, you just talked about your mentor, the incredible career track that she has been well noted for, and Spectrum Sports gave her, props and her love and for her passion for the sport. Talk about your mentor a little bit how you met her and got involved.
Well, first I met her at Lakewood High School. I was just walking on the track. You know, it's your freshman year. You're trying to find your place. I tried out for the football team. I made the football team. I did. I tried out for the basketball team. I was a little too short. And,
don't tell that to Muggsy Bogues.
Oh, yeah. I decided to do wrestling. I wrestled for that year. And then,
you wrestled?
Yeah, I wrestled as well.
He's a tough dude, too. You better be careful. Wrestlers. My brother's a wrestler. I've had a lot of wrestlers on here. Mm-hmm. That's a different breed of cat.
Oh, it definitely is.
You're a tough guy, and you like individual sports. But, man, I don't know too many track guys, sprinters or 400 guys that were wrestlers, too. So I applaud you for that.
Oh, thank you. Like I say, I stepped on the track, and I just learned. I learned, and she taught me so much. She taught me about work ethics. Ernest Givens was there as well, her cousin. That was my football coach and my track coach as well. And she taught me about the work ethics, discipline. EG, he was more of the disciplinarian type. If you mess up, he'll get up in your face and say, hey, you're doing this wrong. So we went from there. She taught me a lot. I remember my first year running the 300 hurdles was my sophomore year. I actually failed running the hurdles, and I went to her, and I said, Coach, can I run the 400? I don't feel comfortable running the threes.
Well, you're a little short, no offense, for running the hurdles. I tried them myself, the 400 intermediates. And first of all, it's too tough. And we're short guys.
Yeah, we got short legs. But she said that was fine. And she put me in the 400, and we formed a beautiful relationship. We are district champions, regional champions. We qualified for regionals. We was my junior year, we won states in the 4x4 out the slow heat.
You won state?
Yeah, we won a state in the 4x4 out the slow heat.
In the state of Florida, that is no... Trust me, I follow track across the country, and you're running in the fastest state in America. And to get to state is no small feat for anyone. Or just to qualify, people should be proud of themselves, or even regionals, right?
Yes, sir. Back then, it was a totally different breed.
Without a shadow of a doubt, yeah. So what's your favorite memory from high school? And then we'll talk about your coaching memories. Your favorite memory running in high school, your favorite memory at running in college?
My favorite memory running in high school, it came down when was running the 4x4 at the regional track meet. One of our legs, our third leg, he was like the fastest leg we had. He wanted to go to prom that year. So he came down, he ran the one, he ran the two, and he was like, I'm finna get ready, I'm gonna go to prom. So by a good two weeks, we trying to figure this out. And they kept telling me, like, we're not gonna go, we're not gonna make it. I said, yes, you are. So, like I said, my favorite, when I got the baton in like fifth place, and second place was like 150 meter lead on us, and like I was able to squeeze out third. So I was able to pass everybody else because everybody had like 100 meter lead, run past everybody.
What was your split? Do you remember?
It was like a 46.8.
Man, that's moving. You know what? I didn't mind getting the baton a little behind. I had some enormous leads that I blew at Western Kentucky, and I also came from behind many times. But I just feel more comfortable coming from behind because you can see your competitors. When you're in the lead, you don't know what's going on behind you. And it's good to be in the lead, and hopefully it's a lead that you can sustain. But, yeah, that's a great story. So when did you make the decision that you wanted to become a coach and coach track?
I think that decision came from when I was young. You know, I was always involved in youth track and field, especially in Pinellas County. I ran for a team called Fast Forward, and they had a lot of young kids on their team, and they'll always come ask me and say, hey, can you teach me how to do this? Can you teach me how to do that? So I just taught them, and I didn't, at that time, I didn't know that was going to happen, but I think it was actually when I graduated from college, and I came back to St. Pete in 2012. I was walking on the campus of Gibbs, you know, just coming to say hi and everything. And one of the coaches, he saw me and he was like, hey, coach, we need your help. I said, all right, cool. And that's when I first met Trayvon Bromell. And it just went on from there.
Well, for those of you that aren't familiar in the world of track and field, Trayvon Bromell, one of the premier sprinters in the world. And at one time, the world record holder and Olympian. Who gives back to Gibbs and always recognizes where his success came from, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
And it's pretty phenomenal, I'm sure, for you as a young man, watching a guy that is on the world stage, knowing that he ran on the same track that you're practicing on, the same track that you're competing on. How cool is that to have a Trayvon Bromell to look up to?
It's really cool, yeah. I always walk by, when I'm walking by the basketball court, his trophy's in there, and I always look at it like I want to bring a trophy, but I'm not going to be at Gibbs next year, so hopefully, still practicing with Rob, I'm able to bring a trophy to the school that I'm going to next year.
Where are you headed next year?
Hollins High School.
Well, you know what, if you stick around, the Hollins baseball team's going to be here at 1:30 as they're getting ready to go to the regional championships against Jesuit on Monday. So you're going to be a Hollins Royal.
Yes.
Your family moving? Are you moving up that direction?
Nah, they have a music production program that I would like to get into.
Good for you, Mike. I got a son that's a musician.
Yeah.
You got to pursue your passions, right, Coach?
Yes, sir.
You're gonna lose a runner, but he's gonna pursue his passions. So I'll
stay with you.
What do you run?
When I first started this year, I ran the 400, the 4x4, and I tried the 800, but that was a little too much.
Come on, man! I ran the 800. What do you mean it was too much? With your speed, you could have trounced the guys in the 800 meters.
They run that a little too fast for me.
So, the 400, as Coach can tell you, is very grueling in itself. Did you start out as a sprinter and then they moved you up to 400?
Yeah, I think I tried the 100 one time. But yeah, he always had me doing the 400 and the 4x4.
So you saw him as a 400 guy, Coach, right away?
In the beginning, yes, we did. But like you said, you know, the 400 this year, these guys was moving, it was fast. So sometime my philosophy...
What's the time right now?
What's the time in this region? The best times in Pinellas County, in this district, in the 400?
Right now, probably in Pinellas, the fastest maybe like a low 49, but we just came back from the state competition, and those guys was running like 46.
46 in high school?
Yes, 46, 45.
Was that the guys from down Dade County in Miami area?
I think you had a couple of guys from Dade County. You had some from like mid Florida, North Florida, you know. the track and field experience, you know, the times is like spread it around the state this year. So
I bet you look at that and you just shake your head like, wow. What's your personal best
in the 400?
Yeah,
like a low 57, I think. I've never really pushed myself on that race, so I could probably do better than that.
You could do better than that. And now you get to pursue your passion in music. Yeah. What do you got to say about this guy as your mentor?
He's always pushing me. Like, in practice, he'll have me running 300s, always screaming at me to get my knees up while I'm trying to run it.
Knees up is kind of critical if you're going to run a race like that, because we know back in the day, especially when you run the 400, you come around that last curve, the bear's going to jump on your back. You still use that old term?
Yes, sir. Bear, silverback gorilla, you know, anaconda, whatever it's called, you know, it's going to jump on.
It's going to jump on, and if you don't have your knees pumping, you're going backwards in that. So what's the future for you personally?
You know, the future for me, you know.
To build the Gibbs program?
Yes, sir. My first goal is to build Gibbs, a true track and field dynasty at Gibbs. To make sure Gibbs is recognized not only in our district, our region, in the city, but you know, as far as nationwide, the team that we had this year was amazing. You know, we had some kids that ran some good times. We had kids that, you know, even our girls team, they threw far. We went to districts. The boys took fourth in districts. We almost had second, but we lost by like 4.5 points.
Well, I know the challenges that you, I don't know, but I've been involved in many of the inner city projects that I was involved in back in the Midwest. And the challenges of coaching and teaching, and I applaud you for everything you're doing, and you and I will talk off the air about opportunities to give support to the Gibbs track team in the future. And you're welcome to bring anybody on. Hey, you want to do a shout out to anybody at home listening? Because we archive this. You better do a shout out.
Shout out to my dad, because last year I didn't really want to do track anymore after districts last year. He told me to keep pushing. And now I'm here.
Some good advice from your pops. Keep pushing. Anybody else got a girlfriend?
No.
Smart man. Smart kid. You brought a smart kid down here.
I know, right?
Yeah, exactly. You got the rest of your life for that. All right. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you coming down and sharing a little Gibbs conversation. You're more than welcome anytime. Just reach out to me, and we'll talk about what we can do in the future. How's that
sound? Yes, sir. One thing I would like to say is that, you know, look out for Gibbs next year. We're going to be hosting the second annual Thomas Jackson Invitational.
Well, we'll be there. I'll send the big O. He doesn't know anything about track. He's a golf guy. But we'll send the big O down there, and he'll be our correspondent.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it, and I'm glad that Shaq lined us up. Tell Shaq to get down here.
I will.
He's been down once, and we didn't get on the air, but I love that cat, too. And he's doing things for the right reasons for Gibbs and the kids in basketball as well.
Yes, sir.
All right, you guys. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Where is Magnificent? Can I squeeze these guys in real quick? I tell you what, we're going to go, if I get it right, Johnny Walker, it's Magnificent Johnny Walker. I'm going to show you your text. It said Magnificent Mike.
Because I was talking
about
to a Magnificent
me?
Mike.
Because
yeah,
you were talking
you.
About me?
Yes.
Well, how wrong you were. But anyway, this is a first time in the 20 years of me doing sports radio, my own show, that I've had anybody from the wide world of wrestling. And it would take Andy DeLay from Burning Rubber Radio to break that mold.
Oh, yeah.
So, my friend, why don't you take this and introduce...
Yeah, we got a...
Shush.
I guess he's going to introduce
right out of the gate, DeLay, you don't get to say a word, because if you can't spell my name and write it down properly for the host of a radio show to know it, why are you even sitting here right now? Why am I even bothering to talk to you? He's the one I want to talk to. You don't get to talk. You don't get to say a word. You get to sit there quietly, let your gut hang out over your belt like it always does, and take up more breathing space than you deserve on the planet.
Oh, my God.
At any rate, I'd like to talk to this gentleman because he's the one here who's important. Like myself, unlike you.
I'm digging this.
My name's Magnificent Mike, by the way.
Mike, how are you? I love the name. It's wonderful. I am, for the record, the Magnificent Johnny Walker.
All right, JW, you need to go downstairs and have one on me before you leave then.
I have every intention of it.
All right. We'll buy you a Johnny Walker here, Fergs. So, how'd you get into the world of wrestling? Were you an athlete in your youth?
I've been an athlete since the day I was born. I started out doing amateur wrestling in high school, and then I was an amateur boxer and then a professional boxer. And then I went on to professional wrestling in my early 20s and have been doing that ever since. And now I am part of a company that runs out of the Bradenton, Sarasota area, Manatee, Sarasota County area, called Universal Championship Wrestling. And we run shows every third Sunday of the month. And guess what tomorrow is?
Yeah.
The third Sunday of the month.
That's right. And tomorrow in Palmetto, Florida, at El Sombrero's restaurant right off 301 and 75. You can come out and you can see Universal Championship Wrestling's Quantum Flux. Our brand new heavyweight champion, Joey Osborne, who is here, and I'm going to introduce him in a little while, is going to be defending his title. I'm not sure against who yet. We've got a guy who wants to be a competitor, but we'll get them over here in a minute and we'll let them hash it out.
Yeah, and I'll be there too.
Are you talking again?
Oh my gosh.
Hey, see this red button? He's done.
Perfect. I love it.
I took care of him.
I love it.
I want to go back in time a little bit. I was involved in boxing for 30-some years. You were amateur, Golden Gloves, probably the whole deal.
Yep.
And I promoted professional boxing, and I still love the sweet science. And sometime I'll get a hold of you, and I'll take you over to Plant City. They have professional boxing now at the highest level. I know the owner, Canadian, and it's very cool, televised all over the world. And is there anything you miss about the world of boxing? Because, you know, unfortunately, or fortunately, depends on what you're a fan of, I'm not an UCF guy because I saw the sweet science dying to a lot of people that made that decision, the youth of America, because boxing didn't market itself properly. And shame on them. But I'm seeing it get a little resurgence. But what are your views, even though you're immersed in wrestling, your views on the world of boxing these days?
Boxing, you know, it's, and you're right, we call it the sweet science for a reason. There's a true art to being...
It's not a damn street fight like UCF is out here in the parking lot.
It's not at all. You know, to become a great professional boxer, to become a mediocre professional boxer, you spend years. You know, there's a psychology to how you fight in the ring. There's a psychology to how you move in the ring. It's not about hitting somebody. It's about not getting hit and understanding how not to.
Precisely.
There is an art form to true pugilism that...
I love this guy.
...was lost sometime in the mid-'80s to close to the early 90s. Nowadays, boxing has lost its allure because of mixed martial arts and the blood factor, as I call it. You know, we're going to flip around, there's a lot more blood, there's a lot more inherent violence.
The Roman Empire has a resurgence here in America.
Exactly. Whereas boxing was two men of skill, some of equal level, some of not, in a psychological battle of strategy. It was like, you know, great boxing was like chess. You know, you go back to the 1940s, the 50s, the Rocky Marciano.
This is my Teddy Atlas right here.
You know, these are the guys that, you know, you watch these guys, you know, they fought in the ring back then, and there's so many great boxers that I can talk about from the middle of the last century, leading up until, you know, and everybody, you know, gives them a hard time, but Larry Holmes was a phenomenal boxer himself.
The most disrespected heavyweight in the history of the sport.
Absolutely.
Because of the depth of the heavyweight, but he had an incredible jab.
He was an incredible fighter.
He learned from Muhammad Ali, his sparring partner.
He was. For years and years, he was a sparring partner. So, you know, those guys.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.